Hello, can we please talk about UFC 276 coming our way this Saturday? I mean, this is an insane fight card, guys. I mean, shout that I haven't put bets on all the fights. What I've done is I've picked out four fights where I think there might be some value in the odds, and they're fights that jump out of the card for me, although it was very difficult to pick this one. I mean, shout, there are great fights all over the place. Ian Garry versus Gabriel Green. You've got the rematch between Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller. That's going to be a really interesting fight. You've got Sean Strickland against Alex Pereira. That's going to be an insane fight, although I don't see too many surprises. I do think that Pereira gets the knockout on that. The odds on that are pretty short, though, and you know me, I don't really like short odds. I don't really do that shit. There's more fights than you can shake a stick at on this one, honestly. But what I've done, I have picked out four that jump off the page at me, just either because they're interesting fights and I'm looking forward to them, and there's maybe a little bit of value in the odds. Because what I look for is I look for long odds so I can keep the stakes low, keep the odds long, and keep the bets terrible. It's what I like to call an MMA scratch card. It's really, really ridiculous long odds. Like, they're very rare that it'll ever come off, but it's like buying a scratch card, except you get to watch people punch each other in the face as you're scratching it off. And that's just fun for me. So yeah, let's dive into the Burt Locker Fights in 15 for UFC 276. Right, we're going to start off welterweight division, Robbie Lawler against Brian Barberena. This has just got fun written all over it, because look, both of these guys, they're brawlers. I mean, if you follow mixed martial arts, you know who Robbie Lawler is. Robbie Lawler, he'll go in there to bite down his mouthpiece and he'll throw down. He's got very good wrestling, underrated wrestling actually, because he was a wrestler at college or at high school, or possibly both. And Brian Barberena's not bad. He's both guys like to keep it standing, and I think this is where it's going to stay. Now, Barberena, he offers a lot of problems. He hits hard, but he's often there to be hit. And Robbie Lawler tends to take over when his opponents are there to be hit in front of him. Nick Diaz fell foul to that. Although I would say that Nick Diaz actually, like, whilst, you know, he got finished by Lawler in the end, Nick Diaz actually, Lawler didn't have it all his own way. It was a real back and forth contest. When you actually go back and watch it, I watched it just minutes ago, and Lawler got hit a fair amount himself. You know what I mean? He really didn't have it all his own way. Now, the issue that I see with that is that Barberena, at this point in his career, like, Diaz has never been known as like a one punch knockout artist. I would say that Barberena probably has slightly more power in his punches than Nick Diaz does. And Lawler, he hits, but he gets hit. He's also 40. Now, look, I want Lawler to win this fight more than anything in the world. I am a huge Lawler fan. Gun to my head, I might even say he's my favourite fighter of all time, purely because he's the first fight that I ever watched was him and Tiki Grohl, UFC, whatever it was. The one where Chuck fought Bubba Lou. You know the one. If you're an MMA fan, you know what I'm talking about. Basically Lawler punched a piece of Tiki's eyebrow out. It was missing, just gone. Tremendous. So he's always been a favourite of mine since the very beginning, since way back then. So I want Lawler to win this fight. My problem with it is that I do think he gets hit rather a lot, and Barberena does hit pretty hard. You've got Barberena at 4-1 against to get the knockout. So that's where my money is going, because that way, at least if Lawler wins, hoping that he does, that way, look, if Barberena cleans his clock, I'll get a bit of money. If Lawler wins, then I'm happy, because Lawler has got another win under his belt before he retires, which probably won't be long. Just enjoy Robbie Lawler whilst he's here. Enjoy this fight. It should be a really good one. Brad Riddell versus Jalen Turner, 170 pounds. No, it's not 170 pounds. I say a lie. It's 155 pounds, which is even more ridiculous. Jalen Turner is a giant for 155 pounds. Because he used to fight at welterweight, I'm sure he did. But yeah, this one's at 155, and he does get to 155, you know, not easily. I don't think any of them make that weight easily. But he's 6'3" for fuck's sake! Fucking ridiculous reach. Like, what is this reach? Fucking, let's have a look here. Jalen Turner, he's got 77 inch reach. A fucking lightweight. What is that? Anyway, look. Jalen Turner, for me, he's somebody that I've had my eye on for some time. I'm a big fan of Jalen Turner. He's a finisher, you know, 12 wins, 12 finishes. He's long, he's big for that division. His kickboxing is fantastic. I remember hearing in his last fight, I think, who was it, against Malarkey. Against Malarkey, he really did, he got hit a fair amount. He didn't have it all his own way, but one thing he did very well is he landed the knee on the break really nicely against Malarkey. Little picture up here of him landing that knee. He's very good at just adapting to where the fight goes, if that makes sense. Now, I think it was Bisping said that apparently, because Turner, he idolised Anderson Silva and he couldn't afford a punching bag. So apparently he propped up a sofa and just went through all of Anderson Silva's kind of instructional videos and things like that, which sounds really cool, actually. I kind of like it. And you can definitely see that he likes to strike. He's got great submissions. He's got really good submissions as well, though. So you've got to really be careful. In his last four fights, it's two knockouts, two submissions. So it's kind of pick your poison lately. And he's definitely gotten a lot better. He's got losses on his record, but he seems to have really come into his stride in his last few fights. Now, don't get me wrong, Brad Riddell, he is a really stiff test. He's one of the best kickboxers in that division. I mean, he got stopped by Fazeev. But that's because Fazeev is just so fucking good. But Riddell was more than holding his own. In a kickboxing standpoint, he's going to be tough. However, Turner's just got so much reach. He throws that teep kick really well to the midsection. I feel like Jalen Turner is probably going to overwhelm Brad Riddell at some point in this. And either I've gone for the double chance because I want to cover off the submission just in case Riddell... Riddell's not known for shooting in. But sometimes if you get rocked, you see like an avenue to kind of protect yourself while still being offensive. So you'll shoot in for a sloppy takedown. And yeah, and that, the, like I said, in this last four fights, it's two wins, two submissions, two knockouts. So I'm covering off the submission. I think it will be a knockout. I do for Jalen Turner. But what I'm going for is the double chance, which is 2.25. That's going on the bet slip. Again, this one's going to be a really fun fight for as long as it lasts. I would implore you to watch it. Headliner of the prelims, this one, guys. Going to be a really good fight. Like, Jalen Turner is one to really keep an eye on. I'd say, you know, just tune into that fight because it should be a really good one. You got Pedro Munhoz against Sean O'Malley. Now, this is a really interesting one because, look, most people that watch mixed martial arts these days, you know who Sean O'Malley is, right? Sean O'Malley, he's got great strike. His striking is wonderful. It is. It's great to watch. He glides around the octagon. He's got his cross is fantastic. It's a great weapon for keeping range, but also just doing a lot of damage. He covers a lot of distance with that cross as well. It's really is good. He switches stances very well. So he uses his length very well. The teep kicks, I'll put a picture. He uses a kick to the midsection really well to keep range. That could be a real problem for Munhoz because Munhoz is going to be a massive size disadvantage. When he saw them squaring off, I was like, fuck me. Are these guys really in the same weight class? It's ridiculous how much taller and longer Sean O'Malley is. That's going to be really tough to overcome for Pedro Munhoz. I would say, though, Pedro Munhoz, he has got a savage low kick, a really savage low kick. But my only issue with his low kick is he tends to get hit and trade off with the low kick. He can take a punch. I don't think he's ever been finished. I might be wrong there, but he can certainly take a hit. He's very tough. He usually tends to absorb a couple of punches in order to dish out the low kick. And the low kick is very, very effective. Problem with that is that Sean O'Malley hits very hard. He's very precise as well. And he has got knockout power in spades. So that might not be the best tactic to go for against O'Malley. But what I would say is that, look, we've not really seen O'Malley tested against anybody of note. The only person of note that we've really seen O'Malley fight is Chito Vera, and he lost that fight. I don't care if he puts it down to not really being a loss. Chito Vera threw that kick in order to damage O'Malley's leg, and it did the job because O'Malley couldn't continue. And that is not the only time that O'Malley has had problems with his legs. I can't remember who he beat, but he ended up on the floor of the octagon, had to do his interview on the floor, if you remember rightly. Joe Rogan had to interview him on the floor because his leg had gone. His ankle is not great. Munhoz has got the perfect weapon for that. It would not surprise me at all to see Munoz attacking that leg and really wobble O'Malley, because he's going to roll on that ankle. Those legs are the only weakness, really. But like I said, Munoz has the perfect weapon in order to exploit that. So when you've got Munoz there, the other thing that I would say is Munoz has an excellent guillotine, a really top tier guillotine. Like, you see the one arm guillotine in mount he got on Rob Font? Go back and watch that fight with Rob Font. That's a really good example of how good Munoz can be. Because yes, Munoz has lost 4 in his last 5. But look at who he's been fighting. Do you know what I mean? He's been fighting like Aljamain Sterling, now the champ. Frankie Edgar, legend. Aldo, arguably the featherweight GOAT. Do you know what I mean? Cruz, arguably another contender for the GOAT. So look, you've got to look at his strength of schedule, and then you compare it to O'Malley, Moutinho, Pavia, Almeida. What? Huh? It's not even comparable. Pedro Munoz's strength of schedule, that has to be taken into account. And that, combined with that low kick, I am rolling the dice here in a really big way. Because look, odds are, look, O'Malley's fucking good, right? He really is. The odds are he picks Munoz apart from range. Munoz doesn't get anywhere near him. He absorbs too many punches when he's throwing that low kick. And we see him face down on the canvas. Or... we see Munoz throwing that low kick, clipping the low part of that leg, which has been a problem for O'Malley in the past. We see O'Malley struggle to stand on that leg, loses that stability, and then he shoots in, tries to get that grappling going, because you know he has submissions himself. But I don't think he's quite on the level of Pedro Munoz. I think if it goes to the ground, Pedro Munoz may well have an advantage here. Especially with that guillotine. If he sinks in that guillotine, it is done. And you are getting 10-1 on the Pedro Munoz submission. And that is where my money is going. That is what my money is going on. Boom. On the bet slip. Rolling the dice on Pedro Munoz to snatch that submission. And then we've got Volkanovski against Holloway 3. Now, in my opinion, this fight should not really be happening. I feel like, you know, Volkanovski won the first two. There's no need for a third fight. I do understand that Max has been stubborn and he's put himself back into that title contention because there isn't really anybody else that can take it right now. But what I would say is that it's a little bit unfair on Volkanovski because, look, the fights were close and Max Holloway is one of the best we've ever seen at featherweight, right? You fight Max Holloway enough times, he's going to get a win over you eventually. Eventually, you keep giving him do-overs, he's going to get a win. He's got another do-over this Saturday. I think this might... you're getting decent enough odds. I'm not going to break down the fight too much because, look, you've seen Max versus... Volkanovski twice already. We know roughly how this is going to go. Volkanovski's probably going to attack with some low kicks. He's going to try and outmaneuver Holloway and possibly even mix in some grappling. I don't see it going mega differently, but we did see Volkanovski get dropped a couple of times in the second meeting. Max Holloway, look, he has got the skill to stop anybody, Volkanovski included. I think overall, Volkanovski is the better fighter. I really believe that. But I think it's close. I think out of 10 contests, like Volkanovski probably gets 6 and Max Holloway probably gets 4. That's how closely matched I think that they are. But I think on this occasion, I'm rolling the dice purely because for Max to get the stoppage, knockout / TKO, you're getting 6-1 on that. And as I said, eventually, if they keep doing this matchup over and over again, eventually Max is going to get one. And he is more than capable of stopping people. And we did see that he dropped Volkanovski in the last one. I would say that it's not that I dislike Max in any way, but I am rooting for Volkanovski here. Purely because I feel like they just keep on giving Max Holloway do-overs until they're getting the result that they want. And Volkanovski has proven, I think he's beaten him twice. It's like, how many more times do you have to beat the same guy in order to just draw a line under it? Maybe 3, maybe 3rd time be a challenge. So look, if Volkanovski wins, I'll be pretty happy. But if Max wins by knockout, I'll be happier still because I'll have won some money at 6-1. That's going on the bet slip. Then you've got the main event, Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. For me, I'm not going to break this fight down because I just see no real surprises. I don't see any area that Cannonier is going to cause Israel any problems, really. I really don't. I feel like Israel Adesanya is going to get the TKO knockout win in this one because Cannonier, I don't think he's got enough to worry, is he? But so the bets that I am putting on, I'm banging them all onto one bet slip, onto one crazy accumulator. I am taking Brian Barberena by knockout. I'm taking the Jalen Turner double chance knockout submission. And then you've got the submission for Pedro Munhoz as well. And then obviously I'm taking Max Holloway to get the TKO slash KO finish. Putting all that together on one accumulator is a stupid thing to do because it's never happening, but 866.25 to 1. That is a terrible bet. Thank you for watching. If you like, let me know in the comments, who do you think is going to be winning? Who are you betting on? I love hearing about it, but I'll be breaking these bets down, seeing how they did on Tuesday, Wednesday, next week. But until then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.